Hello there, we're in the Word House, House of the Rocky Nuhu. Understand that God does His things through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's our privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
Hallelujah. Now, can we give it to the King of Kings? Can we give it to the Lord of Lords? Somebody celebrate your God in the house. Oh my God. Hallelujah. You know, that special number from City of David was really talking about me. It was talking about me. When he says, who am I? Who am I? Who born monkey? If you know where some of us are coming from, you're going to say Jesus is real. If you have any idea. You know, I look at my family today, and I laugh. My wife called me a few days ago and said, a very senior, one of the biggest attorneys in our city where we live, called and said, I just want to say to you, I've been watching you and your husband for 5 years. And it's a woman said to her, he said, my greatest prayer is that God will give me a home like yours. I laugh because I wish this woman knew what she's talking about. That before Jesus came into my life, I had an interesting plan. The plan was that I will not marry. But I was going to do Wazobia. Everybody say Wazobia. I have one child in the north, one in the south, one in the east, one in the west. And I'll just live a free life. At least I have 4 children I'll be taking care of. The mothers will be taking care of them. That was my plan as an unbeliever. I didn't see any good marriage around me. I grew up in chaos. And I said to myself, if this is marriage, I know the formula to happiness. Don't get married. Now I look at my life today. I look at my home today. I look at my family today. And when people say good things about us, this song that City of David sang is for me. Some of us would have been in the grave long time ago before you ever met me, if not for Jesus. Some of us have no business at all standing in front of people to talk, but for the mercy of God. This morning, if there's anyone who truly appreciates God's mercies over your life, like I do, I want us to put our hands together once again and celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All right, now stop. Those of you who made it by yourself, by your prayer, by your holiness, this call is not for you. But those of you who know that you are only a function of grace and God's mercies, once again, celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Thank you, City of David. Please appreciate City of David once again for that very special song. They had me in mind when they were composing that song. Hallelujah. Find 3 people and say to them, it's so good to have you in church again this Sunday. I'm excited that you are sitting close to me today. Now tell someone, I am honored to have you sitting next to me. It's a privilege to have you sitting close to me today. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Evangelist Tim Berry, it's good to have you back after a long time. Please help me celebrate God's servant, Evangelist Tim Berry. Great, great, great man of God from Chicago. Does missions across different countries in Africa. Please help me celebrate him once again. With us, Nigeria, Kenya, different African countries where they have foreign missions. And he comes physically to do the assignment that God has called him to do. and we are so proud to have him. Once again, please help me celebrate Evangelist Tim Berry. Welcome. Welcome back. Good to see you again. I thought I was going to join you in Chicago, but it didn't work out. Amen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, are you ready this morning? My God, are you ready this morning? Are you very, very sure you are ready as I am? All right, now let's rock and roll together. You ready to rock and roll? Hallelujah. All right, just one quick reminder just before we go on. Sorry, the online worshipers, thank you. We love you so much that we forgot you. Please help me celebrate all online worshipers. Thank you so much. And just to remind those of us who are single parents in the house, that on the 27th of this month, Friday, I have a special meeting with you by 5 p.m. right in this place. And guess what? Workers' Appreciation, I think it's Workers' Appreciation for 3 years, culminated together, is coming up on the 27th of March. So if you're a worker in the house, it's time to appreciate you. Amen. And we do have a special dedication this morning. I don't know how many babies. I hear there are about 3 babies or so. So we're going to do that. But let me quickly get the word of God out of the way so we can move on. And I will give you an update on the generator before I close the service. Is that okay? Are you ready this morning? Talk to me. Are you ready this morning?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, let's do this together, everybody. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. We'll just read 20 to 22, and I'll move on with the time I have left. 1 Corinthians 12, 20 to 22. Everybody now, to go. But now, there be many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot see of the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head of the feet, I have no need of you. Okay. I wasn't hearing your voice again. Verse 22, everybody to go. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are very necessary. May the Lord bless his word this morning in our hearing, in the mighty name of Jesus. Shout aloud, amen, somebody.
Amen.
Please sit down like the king that you are. Hallelujah. For those of you who couldn't make it on Wednesday, I began this series on a midweek service. And I'm speaking on what I've called secrets to marital bliss. Secrets to marital bliss. And ladies and gentlemen, specifically for this morning, I'm going to be speaking on what I've titled From Me to We, or The Power of Integration. From Me to We, The Power of Integration. All right? Are you still with me, somebody? Another title for this message would have been Married But Single. Married But Single. All right. So, let's do this very quickly. Ladies and gentlemen, as we speak on marital bliss, I'm going to lay 3 foundations for what I want to share this morning. The first foundation being that living and cleaving is an act, but becoming one flesh is a process. Please, I want everybody to look up here. On the day of wedding, your father or uncle leads you to the altar, hands you over to the pastor, and eventually the pastor hands you over to your husband. Wedding vows are exchanged. Everybody's clapping. The wedding cake is cut, and then you say, "I do," and then the pastor says, "You may kiss the bride." I want you to know the reason why you are given a certificate on that day. Don't ever mistake it for certificate of graduation. It is certificate of matriculation. Did you hear what I said? If you ever mistake that certificate given to you as one of graduation, you will lie to yourself in a very injurious way, because you don't know nothing. I don't care if you attended premarital class for 5 years. Theory and practical are 2 different things. By the time you enter into marriage, even after sexual intercourse is consummated, you still are not one flesh. Getting into one flesh is a journey, is a process that takes a while. Is anybody hearing me? So please understand this, that you have left, your father handed you over, and you have cleaved, you have now in the embrace of your husband, is only an act. Becoming one flesh is a journey. Which is the reason why we always say, marriage is not butterfly. Marriage is hard work. Marriages may be made in heaven, but guess what? The real marriage is done on earth. So you have work to do to be able to enjoy your marriage. The second foundation we need to lay is that before marriage, feeling is important. But after marriage, love is a commitment, not a feeling. So you must change definitions before and after marriage. Pastor, what do you mean? Before marriage, don't marry somebody you don't feel for. Anybody heard me? Never marry. Before you say I do to anybody, you must feel something for him. There must be something, there must be a response in your soul to that person. Without that response, don't marry. And now that I'm saying this, please let me add something I promised God I was going to share with you in the course of this service. Please, when we talk about feeling, the feeling must be defined within the parameters of Scripture. Pastor, what do you mean? If you feel for another man's husband, please hold that feeling. It's not a feeling from God. Pastor, I know he's married, but the way I feel for him, man, I've never felt for any man like that before. Ngozi? Please take authority over that feeling, because the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Is that true? If the man you are feeling for is an unbeliever, please hold your feeling. You know, I was sharing with one of my daughters out there yesterday, and I said to her, I've been grieving in the last couple of days. I just been very emotional. I said, because I look at last year, literally at the same time my wife was going through a surgery last year, two incidents happened that rocked my world. One of them is a young girl in this church. She wasn't just in this church. One day she came for counseling. From the counseling she came for, we discovered that she had been in this very abusive relationship. A gentleman in Owerri. She travels from Enugu to Owerri to live with him. The guy was extremely abusive. This girl is a pastor's daughter. So we particularly took interest in her to say, no, this girl needs rehabilitation. My wife and I moved her into our house. The person I'm talking about, many people in church who are old members will know her. Anyway, guess what? We went through a process of rehabilitation. She became fine, graduated, and then left Enugu. Years later, I heard she was married. But we're not communicating like we used to do before, because everybody is now busy. It was only last year, Pastor Chizoba called me and said, did you hear that your daughter is divorced? I said, my daughter divorced. She's called her name. I said, okay, let me find out what's going on. I picked my phone and I called her. And she started crying. She cried and cried and cried and said, Daddy, everything you taught me, I threw aside when it was time for marriage. He said, I got married to this guy, not just to be an unbeliever, I knew him to be an occultic man. He said, and this guy started a systemic program of dehumanizing me. Don't forget, this girl has a track record. When she was a student in Esut, she was dating a boy in Owerri that literally killed her, which is why we took her into our home to rehabilitate her. Now she's gotten into marriage to another abusive man. I don't know who is here. You're always attracting wicked men into your life. Whatever covenant you sign or somebody signed for you, in the name of Jesus, that covenant is broken in the name of Jesus. I said it's broken in the name of Jesus. And those of you who only attract married men, I command that evil covenant scattered in the name of Jesus. Scattered in the name of Jesus. Anyway, cut a long story short. The man abused her until now hatred developed. She got breast cancer. So by the time I was talking to her, she said, Daddy, I make one promise to you. She said, Daddy, every time I am in my pain, I remember everything you and Mama taught me that I did not follow. He said, and I have vowed. I've been looking for the courage to call you. Out of shame, I couldn't call you. He said, but Pastor, Daddy, now that you have called me, I make one promise to you. Marriage Summit 2026. She said, the person's name is Felicia. I'm calling her name because she gave me permission. She said she was coming to share the testimony herself. So I'm calling the name because She herself wanted to come and do what I'm doing right now. Listen to this. That girl said, Pastor, 2026 Marriage Summit, I'm coming to share my testimony. I want to warn all the girls in church who think that when you are preaching, you are talking rubbish, and that they think they are wiser. He said, I am a testimony of disobedience, and the pain I am in, he said, I pray I survive it. She died in December. Our daughter is right now with the younger sister in Enugu. She promised to be here this February to share testimony. She's gone. The person I'm telling you, her father is a pastor. Is anybody hearing me? Pastor, why are you sharing this? I said, before you marry, feel. But the feeling must be defined within the framework of what is allowed by Scripture. That is what I'm trying to say. I'm talking of, I don't get time. Now, however, after you are married, uncle, marriage, love is no longer feeling. Whether you feel or you don't feel, you must do. You know why in Hollywood, they married this week and divorced the next month? When they saw the girl, the feeling was crazy. And they said to themselves, this is it. And they jump into the marriage. 1 month later, they woke up. The feeling had disappeared. They just picked their phone caller and said, you know what? That thing that we did was actually a mistake, and the call of the marriage. For them, marriage can be entered into and worked out of like nothing. Why? Because for most of the times, love is defined as a feeling. Is anybody hearing me? So number one thing I have said to you, I said number one, before you marry, please feel. Don't marry somebody you don't feel for. However, define feeling within the framework of Scripture. Know who you are feeling for. Your feeling for an allergy is a demonic feeling. Hold that feeling before it will hold you. Number two, I said, after marriage, feelings stop. Have you seen a mother and a child? A mother is flogging the child. But guess what? As he's flogging that child, I hope you know it's expression of love. Please talk to me now. Mother's love for children is not based on any feeling. It is based on the fact that Emeka must be a good boy. Whatever it will take, if I have to kill him, I will kill him to be a good boy. So she's flogging Emeka. Emeka is crying. She too is crying. Our crying is, it has nothing to do with feeling. It's, I've made up my mind. I love this boy so much. He must be a good boy. That's all. That's nothing to do with feeling. Are you still with me, somebody? All right. Number three. I know I don't have much time, so I need to quickly run so we can get into the main thing. We've not entered the message yet. We're still introducing. All right. Number three. Any couple that finds fulfillment in one another can face whatever life brings in you. Everybody say fulfillment in one another. Say again, fulfillment in one another. Oh my God. Can you say after me, say fulfillment in one another. Please, I beg you, listen to this. You see, out there in the world, everybody is in a struggle for survival. Listen, the average person you meet out there in your place of business, in the marketplace, in school, and so on, everybody's trying to outdo you, trying to outshine you. Everybody is in a competition for themselves to become greater than you. People out there are fighting you in the place of work. People are trying to pull you down. The point I'm trying to make is that we live in a very hostile, a very wicked and selfish world. Now listen to this. Your only safe place is your marriage. Your safe place is your family. Now, if you have to fight war outside, return back home and continue the war, you won't live long ago. No, you will not. It's because home was designed to be a place of refreshing, a place of renewal. It's the only place where out there, you know, even your children are accepted and appreciated based on performance. Home is the only place where everybody loves you without performance. Whether you are doing well or not doing well, mommy loves you. Daddy will give you a hug. Your brothers and sisters will not judge you. Come on, am I talking to somebody? If you now turn home into another place of warfare, conflict, argument, crisis. Uncle, you are shortening your days already. And you have to decide, which is why find fulfillment in your home.
Make your home that place of refuge. That place where when you return back, no hotel in Dubai is as good as your home. Not in terms of physical ambience, but in terms of warmth. Because you see, anybody can live in a house, but only a beautiful love. Only beautiful love and acceptance makes a home. Are you still with me? All right, so ladies and gentlemen, it was on that basis we're going to talk about secrets to marital bliss. On Wednesday, I shared on the first secret. I said, accept your spouse fully. Today, I want to speak on something that I've titled, which is I mentioned before. I want to speak on from me to we, or the power of integration. Again, I said, if another word to call it would have been married but single. Married but single. Which is why we read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, talking about the different members of the body. He said there are different members of the body. He said, but all of them are related together. He said, as a matter of fact, there are certain members of the body that we don't even consider to be very important. For example, since you were born, how many of you have seen your kidney? How many of you have seen your liver? I'm not talking about the one you saw in somebody's machine. Physically, you have seen your heart. How many of you have seen your heart before? You can imagine you are 32 years old. Till today, you have not seen your heart. As educated as you are, you have not seen your kidney. As intelligent as you are, you have not seen your liver. Now, if you want to take your bath, you don't bath your liver, your kidney. You bathe your physical body, am I correct? You spray perfume. You put on expensive cream. When was the last time you took time to bathe your liver? In other words, technically, we ignore our heart, ignore our kidney. The Bible says these members of the body that look like they are not important, they are the most important. Because guess what? You can lose your leg and still go to Olympics. True, somebody. You can lose your two hands and still be a multi-billionaire. If you lose your heart, what happens to you? So what are we trying to say? We're trying to say that when it comes to marriage, you can't do without one another. Everybody depends on the other. As a matter of fact, the interesting thing about the human body is that, listen, if this leg is short by arm, God forbid, how do I put it now? Okay. You hit your leg against a stone wall, it's bleeding. I hope you know, your eye cannot say, it not concern me. It concern me. Nami they bleed. No, listen, your entire body is shut down because the leg is bleeding. Is that true? Answer me, is that true? Matter of fact, let me shock you, give you the biggest shocker. When you want to take the painkiller, guess where you take it? In your mouth. Not even in the leg. Now leg, they bleed, but you are taking the paracetamol inside your mouth. What is the connection between mouth and leg? Everything is interconnected. You can't do without one another. That is why when I see married couple, you are building house. And somewhere in your building, madam's room is separate. Or gas room is separate. I know it's because you are trying to show that you have money. But you are also laying the foundation for something you are not planning for. It's called lack of integration. Is anybody hearing me? I say to husband and wife, when you die, you have enough time to be alone. Why are you trying to force it now that you are alive? There's plenty of time to be alone when you die. Come on, am I correct? Your own grave will be separated by a wall, even if it's next to your wife's own. There's a big wall that separates it. So you have enough time to chill out. Why are you rushing to chill out now? Calm down. The reason why you said I do is because two people want to now come together and say, you know what? Let's now do business together. Let's build a future together. Let's plan a life together. So now you were single. You had all the time to frolic around and be a single and live the life you wanted to live. When you finally said, I do. Oga, rule number one, you sacrifice your independence. Rule number two, you sacrifice my for we. The language of my dies on the altar the day you get married. And if after marriage, you are still doing my own, and so on. Well, that's why you are in church this morning. And I pray that God will help you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Pastor, what is integration? Integration is the intentional merging of two independent lives into one unified life, whether emotionally, spiritually, financially, and directionally, without losing their individuality. And I want you to note the words. The two lives have come together in a unified format. But guess what? They don't lose their individuality.
and they don't eliminate their separateness. So if your wife says, honey, I need a break. Please, for the next 2 days, can I have some space? I just want to spend time with myself. Please respect her. Is anybody hearing me? Honey, I just want some time out. I just want to be alone. Respect her because, yes, you are together, but she's still an individual. Come on, is anybody talking to me this morning? She's still an individual. Respect it. That's why she has dreams. She has skills. She has gifts. She has talents. She has visions. As the same way you also have your own. Respect it. Some of the men who are fighting that woman's vision don't even know. The secret of the family's richness or wealth is not him, it's the woman. So when you are fighting a vision out of envy, you are shortchanging yourself and you pay bride price. You are shortchanging yourself. God has brought somebody who is more intelligent than you, smarter than you in business decisions. But you want to use African man to subdue her and shortchange yourself. Why? What's your problem? Now, Pastor, let me quickly finish the definition. It says, it is the movement from me and you to we. Biblically, integration is captured in, and the two shall become one. So what is integration not? What is integration? What is it not? Number one, it's not control. Number two, it's not domination. Number three, it's not a loss of identity. Your wife will still keep her identity. Yes, I know she has changed her father's name to your name, but she's still an individual. She must still have an identity. Number three, it is covenant-based unity. Covenant-based unity. That's why a culture that says once a woman is married, her face is covered, is a loss of identity. It is evil and wicked. It may be permitted under a particular culture, but guess what? It's a loss of identity. And the one that interests me when I see them in Dubai is when the face is covered and they are taking selfie. And they do it too. So I'm actually wondering, this selfie that they are taking, who is inside the selfie? Because everybody whose face is covered look alike. That's for another day. Are you still there? Number two, it is not loss of identity, it is covenant-based unity. Marriage is not two lives running side by side, it is actually two lives that are intertwined together. Are you still with me, somebody? Please talk to me, are you still with me, somebody? Ladies and gentlemen, please look up here. Please, I'm begging you. If you want to be alone, you shouldn't have married. But now that you chose to marry, make up your mind that I'm not independent, we are interdependent. And there are many reasons why God desired that one of the secrets to a blissful life is interdependence. Look up here. When my children call me or come to me and say, Daddy, I want to do blah, 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 blah. The first autopilot answer in my mouth, let me talk with your mommy. If you go to my wife, let me talk with your daddy. We'll hardly ever arrive at a decision concerning, except it's something that the answer is obvious because it's something that we have done over and over before. Otherwise, when this one comes, and you know children are very good in manipulating. You know what I'm talking about? They go to the mother and say something, come to the father and say another thing, so that you know they can turn you in their finger to do what they want you to do. So my children know, if you come to me, before I give you an answer, I'll talk to your mommy. You go to my wife, before they give answer, let me talk to your daddy. So they realize that these two people, you cannot play around them all, because they will never ever say yes or no until two of them have spoken. Are you with me, somebody? How many of you remember the name girl called Abigail and a husband called Nabal? You remember them? Do you know that just being intertwined would have saved that marriage? Pastor, what do you mean? David came to meet Mr. Nabal. Oga, how far? Or he sent his boys to meet Mr. Nabal and said, just want to let you know that, as you notice, the last 3 years your business has been peaceful. No theft, no armed robbery, no Fulani herdsmen, no nothing. Everything has been fine. What you didn't know is that myself and my boys, we built a wall of protection around your business. We are the area boys in charge of this area, and we have vowed that as long as we're here, nothing will tamper with your business. And by the grace of God, we have seen you prosper. But today is sheep shearing. Sheep shearing is like a Thanksgiving day. Allow me to use the word. And God has blessed you. Can you find something for the boys? Now, ladies and gentlemen, if Mr. Nabal was not a fool, Nabal would have said, oh, okay, can I get back to you in the next 2 hours? Let me just talk to Madam. You know what Nabal did? Nabal did not consult with his wife called Abigail. Now, see, if I'm a fool, and Nabal is a fool,
And now I am married to an Abigail. Who is Abigail? Abigail, the name Abigail means the source of the father's joy. So I'm a fool. I lack the capacity to sponsor my joy because I'm a fool. I'm a complete idiot. But now God now bless me with a woman who has the ability to sponsor joy. Guess what I will do? I will get back to you, sir, in 2 hours' time. I pick my phone, I call Abigail. Honey, there's one year boy that just came now. And just said now that blah, 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 we should arrange something for him and his boys. How many of you are aware that if that man had made that call, he would not have died? Please talk to me now. You know the story, 1 Samuel chapter 25. It's a popular story. Long story short, he insulted David. David now said, okay, is this what I get for being good to you? There's no problem. That thing that you have been enjoying that you didn't regard and appreciate, now you're going to have it. David mobilized. The servants of Nabal now came and told the wife and said, madam, that's how you'll be here. This whole family will be gone. Oh, David is coming. He's angry over your husband. He's coming to kill everybody. That woman, at that point, see, that's why, please, if you are married to a fool, it's not everything you discuss. And this is not a laughing matter. Oh. For the married people, they know what I'm talking about. For me, it's not a laughing matter. See, if you marry, do I enter this one now? Okay, so you are a very rich girl, doing very well, hardworking. You've built some great future for yourself. Plan your life, working very hard, invest, save, buy things, and so on. You now got married to a man. 2 weeks after marriage, the first question of the guy is, you need to change all the landed properties to my name. Your car, you will change it to my name because now I'm your husband. Now, if you marry that's marrying a fool, am I right? If you marry a man like that, already you know you're married to a fool. So you have to make up your mind from day one until we cure this foolishness and cast out this stupidity. It's not everything I can share with this man for now. I'm intentionally making these exceptions to the rule so that you don't walk foolishly and blindly, because I have a sister right now. Do I get into that now? Okay, I'll share that in another service. 9 minutes to go. Listen, are you with me? Are you still with me? Do you know it was simply the move by Abigail to quickly mobilize food, ran ahead quickly and intervened, gave David food and said, you are a man of God. If you kill this man now, I hope you know that very soon you will be king. You don't want your hand to be stained with blood. You are too good for your hand to be stained with blood. There was a way that girl toasted David. David did not only go back. The day David heard that the husband was dead, David did not wait for the husband's burial. Read your Bible. There's no evidence that the woman attended the husband's burial. Come on, are you still there? David said, I beg. I never see a woman with his spin like this. Any woman that can toast like this, that can talk like this, come and join us. And that's how David married the woman. What am I trying to say, guys? Please, this thing called integration is so important that it is one of the greatest keys to a successful and a happy home. So for time's sake, Pastor, I want to share with you very quickly what are the 5 signs that your marriage is not integrated or you are not yet integrated with your spouse. Number one, you live parallel lives, not a shared life. You have separate goals, separate routines with minimal overlap, and independent planning without consultation. Everybody is doing their own thing. This one do it on, the other one do it on. Nobody they talk to each other. Your goals are separate, they are not aligned. You have separate routines and so on and so forth. And the Bible says two cannot work together except they be agreed. Number two, how do I know that you are not aligned or you are not integrated? Number two, major decisions are made without consultation. Are you still there, somebody? You are buying property, it's not aware. You are changing jobs, he's not aware. You're making very critical financial decisions. The man is not aware. My cousin was sharing with me. I shared this story many years ago. My cousin's husband was working with Julius Berger. Big boy, head of department, doing extremely well. And then suddenly, my cousin said she woke up one day and discovered that as a youth copper in those days, I used to go in front of their house, take photograph,
And I say, guess where I take this photograph? Some people say US, UK. You know that kind of thing I'm talking about? So you want to behave like you didn't do it also, right? Is that why you're keeping quiet on me? I said, guess where I take this photograph? Did I tell you I went to America? You are the one that said it. Am I right? Beautiful house. If for those of you who know Abuja, Julius Berger Quarters in Abuja, fantastic. It's like you are abroad. And guess what? This man sat one day, woke up one morning, wasn't going to work. The wife looked at him and said, you okay? He said, yes. She didn't say what. Next day, he wasn't going to work. Third day, uncle, what's going on? 3 days, you haven't gone to work. He said, I've resigned. Four children. The wife is a teacher, which is my cousin. You have resigned. How? Said that the head of the department or the head of the unit left back to Germany or wherever he came from. And that he was the most qualified person to take over. But now they now brought another white man. Now your papa business. They brought another white man instead of him, that is racism. So he got angry and resigned. By the next time I was visiting them, they were living in an uncompleted building. I said, I lie not, I say the truth in Christ Jesus. They had moved to uncompleted. They went, my cousin said, this is the fourth uncompleted building we are living. Now anyone we go, after 2 months, the owner say he want to build, they drive us. They move to the next one. This guy moved from a manager in Julius Berger to living in an uncompleted building. That was the beginning of the end of their marriage anyway. That marriage long disappeared. What am I trying to say? Sir, how? How do you take decisions? Madam is not aware. You know the most painful one? I will never forget the day. This is back in Port Harcourt many years ago. A sister's husband died in motor accident. And she was crying. She was inconsolable. We tried everything. She was like, it's better for me to die. Let me just die. And we know the guy to be a successful businessman. So I now called her and said, please, calm down. This is not time to cry. This is time to gather things together, because by the time your in-laws come, you won't have broom to carry here. Let us see how we can save the things we can save. You have children. Where is your husband's account? I don't know. Who are his business partners? I don't know. Okay. Do you know which particular companies he has done business with lately? So we know how to work out the money that they are owing him and so on. He does not tell me anything. I watched that woman move out of that house because she couldn't pay rent. I watched those children relocated from the school where they are to cheaper schools. I watched that woman become a shadow of herself because of an evil man who lives with a wife and tells her nothing. You know the worst part? First Bank will enjoy that money. Listen, forgotten accounts in First Bank by a part, this is long ago, not now that there's money. Forgotten accounts many years ago, a year was about 3 billion. That is, stupid husbands who don't share anything with their wives have died and left it for the bank. I have a rule in my house. I do not just let my wife know. I actually buy most things in her name. Some I buy with our joint name. Most I buy with her name. I have no plan for another wife. I have no plan for divorce. I have no plan to start all over again with another woman. So guess what? I know that one day I will not be here. I don't want anybody to give her stress. So you know what I do? I buy the things in her name. And I'm not saying you must follow me. I'm just telling you what I do. Is anybody hearing me? Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, the fourth thing, you know, third thing is financial secrets also exist. That's how you know that there's no integration. How many of you recall that footballer some years ago that the guy divorced his wife and the wife wanted to sue for welfare? And they found out that he has bought everything in the mother's name. Who remembers it? Eh? And I hear a lot of guys hailing the guy, saying, smart guy, good guy. The only question I ask for those guys is very simple. I hope if the wife or women also start doing that, I hope you won't mind. So your wife is living with you. She has bought properties and bought stuff in the name of her mother. I hope you won't mind, sir. Since we are celebrating that guy, we are celebrating Hollywood. I hope you will not mind. I also hope you will not mind if your daughter's husband, by the time your daughter gets married, all that she is buying is not in the name of the wife or the children, in the name of her own, all that the husband is buying is in the name of his mother. So by the time the guy dies, your daughter is stranded because there's nothing to hold on to. I hope you won't mind, because if you want to celebrate one, you celebrate across board. See, the day you begin to treat marriage as contract instead of covenant, that's what's sponsoring all this kind of stupid thinking. Thank you. The day you begin to define marriage as contract, not covenant, that's when this kind of stupid Hollywood thoughts begin to come into your head. Let's sign agreement. This is going to be done. If you don't do like this, we'll do like that, and so on. It's okay if the world does that. It's okay if two people who are just in a contract, let's see how this one can work for 4 years, do it. But a believer, marriage is not a contract. Marriage is covenant. And if you don't enter with a covenant mindset, and the covenant mindset is powered by only one word, that word is called sacrifice. 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 For God so loved the world that he gave. Husband, love your wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. If marriage is not sacrificed to you, please don't enter inside it. Are you with me, somebody? Number four, you prioritize extended family over your spouse. Everybody look up here. Listen to this. Your definition of family must change from the day you get married. Before you get married, your immediate family, your primary family, your priority family is your father, your mother, your brothers, and your sisters. The day you get married, everybody look up here. Your father, your mother, your brothers and sisters become extended family. Your primary family becomes your wife and your children. Blood may be thicker than water. Covenant is thicker than blood. Why? Because when it came to your brothers and sisters, you were forced into union with them. You woke up one day, okay, Chukwu is there, Emeka is there, Ngozi is there. They are your brothers and sisters. You are their blood. So blood is thicker than water. When it came to your wife, now you carry your two eye. There were 2 million women chasing you. You said, this particular Ngozi, now the one I go settle with. And you pointed your hand and you say, I do. From the day you enter that covenant, covenant is superior to blood. That's the reason why if you belong to a cult and they say, bring your first son. Your son is blood, but the covenant of your cult is higher and superior. You will sacrifice that boy without thinking because covenant is stronger than blood. Are we still together? Am I spoiling your Sunday? Okay. And finally, you are emotionally alone in the marriage. My time is already up. I'm still trying to introduce. So let me quickly just run through with you. What are the 5 keys to marital integration? I'll just read them. Don't worry. I won't go into details. What are the 5 keys to marital integration? Number one, establish covenant consciousness. Not contract consciousness. Covenant consciousness. Say after me, covenant consciousness. Say again, covenant consciousness. It was in Malachi that God put it very clearly. Malachi 2:14. He says, she is the wife of thy covenant. She is the wife. She's not the wife of a contract. She's the wife of your covenant. And so, he put it clearly. He said, what therefore God has joined together. It was courts that actually joined you. It was pastor that looked like they joined you. But as long as that union is done, as long as the covenant exchange in the name of the Lord, or whatever name you got married into, listen to this. It is God. What therefore God has joined together. That's why it's covenant. Let no man put asunder. For time's sake, number two. Are you still with me? Number two, are you still with me? Number two, how do we then get integrated? Must practice radical transparency. Somebody say radical transparency. Say again, radical transparency. How you want to know that many marriages are in trouble is when you are in an aircraft and there is turbulence and it doesn't look like people are going to make it. That's when you discover a lot of the men are sending SMS to their wife. Ngozi, Zenith Bank. Account number, so. If anything happened to me, And they hide money. I don't know if you're hearing me, somebody. You now see people start doing all that because in the first place, there's a lot of hiding. Somebody say hiding. I can't hear you say hiding. But I said to men, I said, after all this hide, you are hiding. When you die, the first thing that you will not hide is this thing. Somebody say this thing. All this shukuli that you have been hiding here, the day you just drop dead, they just carry it and begin to scroll through and discover that there's no hiding anywhere in this world. Is anybody hearing me? Please talk to me. Are you hearing me, somebody? Please, if you want to be integrated, then you must be transparent. It's called radical transparency in your finance. Somebody say radical. I can't hear you say radical. For the last time, say radical. Radical transparency. Please listen to this. Any marriage that is plagued with hiding, 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 hiding can never, ever be integrated. Why? The Bible says, and they were both naked, the man and his wife. And what happened? And they were not ashamed. So marriage integration begins with nakedness, vulnerability, where I'm able to come before you. And that brings me to the next one, which is prioritizing. Okay, no. Okay, I think I've done it. Okay. Okay. Which is where I'm able to share with you. Please, where you're able to share with your spouse and say, you know what? I'm in pain. I'm going through this. Don't let someone else be the one to be telling your wife stuff about you or giving information about your husband that your husband hasn't told you. Be the one to share. Let there be vulnerability. I am struggling with this. I'm having issues here. This is where I'm coming from. This is what I'm dealing with. The reason why I'm overbearing is because I was a first daughter and I had 5 boys, crazy boys under me. I had to keep shouting at them to be able to keep sanity in the family. That's why sometimes I shout at you, forgive me, understand where I'm coming from. It's called vulnerability. You are naked, you are open. And guess what? The moment your spouse knows that you are open, you're not hiding things, guess what? They are more sympathetic, more understanding, and more willing to help you. Is that true, somebody? Talk to me, is that true, somebody? Number 4, how do I go ahead to build integration? Is it 4 or 3 now? Number 4, prioritize your spouse above extended family. This is very important. Number 5, cultivate daily friendship. Everybody say daily friendship. I can't hear you say daily friendship. For the last time, say daily friendship. Everybody look up here. It was on Wednesday that I said this. You see, one of the greatest secrets to any blissful marriage, it's called friendship. It's called friendship. That's why, please, don't marry somebody you're not in friendship with. One of the things that distorts this thing I'm talking about is when you start dating somebody and the next thing is sex. 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 Let me tell you what sex does. Sex, number 1, blinds you from red flags. 2, sex destroys your ability to be able to have what they call small talks. The moment both of you meet, instead of being able to talk, let's talk. Let's talk about life. Let's talk about politics. Let's talk about church. Let's talk about calling. Let's talk about ministry. A lot of young people don't do that any longer because once the two of them meet inside a room, you know the next thing? They're on the bed. And because they have not built friendship, the moment sex is taken out of the equation, guess what? There's nothing else. That's why many marriages didn't survive COVID. Yeah. Because when COVID came, husband and wives were forced to stay inside the house. No more, I have a business appointment. I have a meeting in my office. I'm rushing to catch up. No, all those things were gone. There's no business anywhere. Do the business here. So many spouses who have never spent 6 hours together before were trapped in the same house. And they discovered that they couldn't talk. Nothing to discuss. Nothing to exchange. I'm begging you, sir, make your spouse your best friend. Forget these children, oh. You see these children you're talking about? Every time, my children, Oga, it won't take long. All of them will disappear and leave you guys alone. It doesn't take long. I see these 21st century children, they are very much in a hurry to leave you. And when they leave you, to take the mercy of God for them to call. I'm not kidding you. It takes mercy for them to even call you and say, daddy, mommy, whatever. I'm telling you. Because you see, they have their dream. They have their vision. They have their plans. They are all busy. Sir, that home will be left with you and your wife alone, finally. If you have not cultivated friendship, your wife is your gossip partner. Your husband is your gossip partner. Two of you have your... When push comes to shove, it is finally between you and that man. Build friendship daily. I close on this note. My time is up. I said this to you on Wednesday. I said, Ruth became one of the greatest heroes of the Bible for one reason. I said, when Ruth got married to her husband, Chilion. Is it Chilion now? Yeah, Chilion. When she got married to her husband, Chilion, according to Bible historians, the word Chilion means sickly. He was very sickly. In fact, actually, Bible historians said that the guy had sickle cell, that he was a sickler. And this is what happened. The man was so sickly, he could not communicate effectively. However, don't forget that Ruth was coming from an idolatrous background, Moab. And now Ruth had the responsibility of being able to nurture a god she doesn't know, called Elimelech, okay? Not called Elimelech, by Elimelech. So Ruth didn't have much knowledge of the Bible, didn't have much information about God because her husband was too sickly to communicate. But guess what? Ruth had one advantage. The Bible says that advantage is called friendship. Because the name Ruth means companionship. Somebody say companionship. I can't hear you say companionship. On the other hand, the one called Orpah had a husband who is Mahlon, who was strong, who had all the strength to inform her and teach her about God. The problem with Orpah was that her name means double-minded. And a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So guess what? Ruth didn't have much information, but she fell in love with God. So when the push came to shove, 10 years, no child. 10 years, her husband died. 10 years, her father-in-law died. 10 years, her husband's brother also died. 3 corpses. Guess what? The mother-in-law called and said, ladies and gentlemen, it's nice doing business with you, Ruth and Orpah. Return back to your people and to your God. She said, Mommy, don't try that again. I may not know too much about this, your God, but I fall in love with him. He has become my companion. I don't know much about him, but I love him to the point where your people will be my people, your God will be my God. Anywhere you die, that's where I will be buried also. God forbid, let God punish me if I ever conceive leaving you. That lady made that vow with no hope of a husband, no promise of a future, no guarantee that God will be good to her because so far he has not been good for 10 years. But guess what? Companionship took her with her mother-in-law to Bethlehem, Judah. And by the time Boaz opened his mouth, Boaz said, I've heard so much about you. I've heard about your loyalty, your friendliness, your companionship, your heart to be able to hold, even when you don't understand much, but still be able to love and give love. I have sworn. There are many, many girls who have been chasing me because that guy was the Elon Musk of his generation. He said there are 1 million girls that would die just to get a good morning from me. He said, but I have not been able to make up my mind on anyone. But you see, you, loyalty is in your heart. Friendship is in your heart. Commitment is in your heart. I will stick with you. Even though you are a second wife, not even a first wife, I will stick with you and I will marry you. The rest is history. Friendship. Build friendship with your wife. If this woman is not your friend, who else is more qualified? You can't have this kind of beautiful woman you have. There's one secretary somewhere in the office who is the one you're always chatting with. You hardly talk with this one, hardly play with this one, hardly go out with this one. There's somebody else who is somewhere on the internet you have not even met, who is your best friend. What kind of mumu wearing cap they worry you? If you say, I do to her, then let this woman become your best friend. Rise on your feet this morning as we pray. Please rise on your feet. I'm sorry for my time. I know that I shouldn't have taken this much time because we have a dedication. Lift up your two hands. Say after me, say, Heavenly Father. Oh God, are you still in church? Say, Heavenly Father. Say, in the name of Jesus, I make a commitment to my spouse now or in the future. I make a commitment for integration, for togetherness, for intimacy, and for friendship. Say, I commit first and foremost to the God of heaven. Say, Heavenly Father, my first commitment is to you, that between you and me, there is no barrier, there is no middle wall, there's no partitioning. I am yours and you are mine. You are my first love. And I commit to serve you, to love you, and to walk with you all the days of my life, in the name of Jesus. And now, my Father, I also make a commitment to be committed and to be integrated even to my spouse. That when I finally get married, or as I am married, there will be no I, there will be no me, it will be we. This is my commitment under God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This morning I pray for you that nothing whatsoever will come between you and that woman and that man of your dream. I pray that the hand of God will bless that union to the degree that the two of you will be the best friends on earth. Your wife will not hear things about you from outside. She will always know it from inside. The two of you will be so intertwined, so connected, so committed, that when you are in Abuja, she's in Enugu. She knows you are having a headache. She knows a temptation is about to come to you. She knows something is happening. She begins to intercede for you. She begins to pray for you. She begins to cry out to heaven for you. She knows that an accident is about to take place, even when she's 10 million miles away from you. That kind of integration, that kind of a union, that kind of soul bonding, that no matter what you are passing through, your wife knows somewhere, your husband knows somewhere, that something is happening to you. I pray that the Lord will give you that grace, in the mighty name of Jesus. I bless you with the blessing of the Lord, and I declare you will succeed in your marriage, succeed in your union, succeed in your relationship, in Jesus' mighty name. And just before we pray, before we say the final prayer, if you're here, you need to give your life to Jesus. I have 1 minute to pray for you. Can you put your hand on your chest and say, Jesus, come into my heart. Say, Heavenly Father, I am so sorry. I've not lived my life as a Christian, but this morning I dedicate my heart. I make you my Lord and my Savior. And from today moving forward, I declare that my heart and my life is given to you. Thank you, Jesus. I believe with all my heart that you have saved me this morning, and my life will never be the same. Father, for everyone who will pray this prayer, manifest the grace for salvation in their lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Shout a living amen. Say a better amen.
We hope that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Reverend Edwin Bayebo's messages, kindly log into www.hotrenugu.org/mp3. That is www.hotrenugu.org/mp3 to listen and or to download. Truly, the word works.